Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Good morning. How are you all today? It's good to be here in big church. I was just up in little church, kids' church. They're a lot more talkative than you guys are, so we don't have to go over rules or anything with you when it's time to be quiet. No, I'm just kidding. So we just want to say thank you to Pastor for letting us have this opportunity to share. It's kind of the first time that we've had a public forum to share what God is working on us, doing in us, and stuff like that. So we're grateful that we can share with you this morning. And as we were thinking about how do we encapsulate everything that God has shown us through this process, it's been, you know, it's kind of a long process. Anytime you have God talking to you, you usually don't take it on the first day. You're like, yeah, let me let that sit for a while. And so it's been kind of a long process, kind of a journey for us. And a couple of weeks ago, I was praying, and God gave me a verse that I sort of thought, because we're going through that adoption process right now, I thought, this is a great adoption story verse. You know, that's definitely what I want to happen in our kids' lives. And so as I was praying about this morning, the Lord was like, yeah, but it also applies here. It's just a good verse. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning, and that's Psalm 139, 16. And it says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed." I love this verse. I'm a theater person, right? So I have a big imagination. Large. And so I can just imagine God of the universe sitting and saying, "All right, I'm about ready to make Angela. It's going to be awesome. She's going to be cool." Maybe he said that. I don't know. And I can just imagine him writing out my life story. And I can imagine him laughing at some of the things what in the world is she going to do there? Oh, man, it's going to be bad. And then I can imagine him crying at some things and saying, oh, she's going to hate this, but we're going to get through this together if she'll let me help her. You know, and I can imagine him writing all of that stuff out. But mostly what I imagine is just being grateful that he cares. Grateful that he takes the time to do that. Grateful that he chose a plan for my life, and that I can fulfill his plan if I choose to follow him and to do what he says. Now, some of you might seem like, nobody's telling me what to do. I'm not into predestination. That's a whole nother sermon. But God's story for you is beautiful. None of you are accidents. None of you are mistakes. None of you are put on this earth by happenstance. It's beautiful. And when we yield ourselves to an omniscient God with a beautiful plan for us, beautiful things will happen in our lives. And it'll be awesome. And so the whole thing that he wants us to look at today is how he can make this beautiful story happen if we'll listen and obey his plan for us. Now, unfortunately, this book was not handed to your parents on the day you were born. Wouldn't that have been awesome? Thank you. Thank you for that detailed manual. I appreciate your ministry. That would be awesome. But in our case, our story that he writes out, our novel that he writes for us, looks more like a choose-your-own-adventure story. Did you guys ever read those when you were kids, the choose-your-own-adventure novels? I had a picture of one I was going to show you. But it was really cool. Like, you got to see how the end was going to play out. You got to see what was going to happen, and you got to choose. And that's honestly what it looks like. And for us, it also looks like a big bunch of fill-in-the-blanks. Our pages are not known to us. Just because God knows doesn't mean we know. So we have to kind of walk through it like an outline that Pastor gives you or something, with pages that have fill-in-the-blank things, and you got to figure out what they all are. And so that's what our novel sometimes feels like. God, put your answers in here. Let me walk your path. Let me choose this adventure, but give me the words and the wisdom to do it. And so we're going to look at a couple essential elements today that will help us in deciphering what happens next in our lives.
So as a way of illustration, and since we're supposed to be talking about Lander today, let me give you a little background as to how we've kind of made this decision. And so about 2 years ago, I was talking with somebody that was from our district. Now we're called a network. But we were talking, and I jokingly said to him, "Hey, how'd you like to plant a church in Lander?" And he just, like, he was like, we just went right over the top, and he was just like, "Oh, okay, whatever." And so some of you know that for many years, Lander has had an Assembly of God church. Well, about 4 years ago, the church was kind of struggling, and because of some leadership struggles and finding someone to go there, the network then decided that they were just going to close the church down and to sell the property with the intent that eventually God would do something there. God would do something new and something fresh. So last year, Angela and I, we went to Lander on our anniversary just to kind of, I'm a traveler at heart, and so I like to go places and see things. I'm not one of those people who goes on vacation and wants to read. Just
much to my chagrin.
I'm like, I'm going somewhere and I'm paying money because I want to see what's there. And so we went to the sink and we saw the overflow. And at that point, that was Memorial Day. And man, it was amazing. The sink was so full that it was overflowing into that overflow portion. If you've never been there, it's amazing, and there was so much water, and it was so cool. But it was beautiful. And so while Ange and I were there, she, unknowing to me, heard the Lord say to her, "You're going to live here." She didn't tell me. That would have been a good fill in the blank, but
they don't have a Walmart. God and I were still in negotiation.
So just a few weeks later, she just knew that it wasn't the Lord's timing, and it just happened a few weeks later that the Lord gave us Justin and Kristen, which just the Lord, today is the day of the last default in that whole process. And so tomorrow we officially get to put in the paperwork for adoption for Justin and Kristen. And they have new names. They will be Molly and Davis. And Molly means longed for one. And many of you know Angela and I have had some struggles after Brett having a child. And so Molly is longed for. And I think even more for Ange because she's a girl. And then Davis.
To make bows.
Davis is a form of David, and it means blessing, beloved, and blessing. And so we're just so thankful for them. So anyway, fast forward to earlier this year, and just in my relationship with the Lord, I kind of felt stagnant, and I just knew I really just needed to press in and just draw closer to the Lord. And so I said, "Lord, man, here's where I'm at. What do you want from me?" And he said, "I want you to do what I told you to do a year and a half ago." I know none of you ever have that happen. But a year and a half ago, he had told me to read the book of Jeremiah. And I got to chapter 6, and I'm like, "Lord, this is good. But I'm just going to put this down right now." And so at that point, just a couple of months ago, I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll read." And just so happened that the way the Lord works sometimes, I got to chapter 7. And the Lord said, it says in chapter 7, it says, "Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Do everything as I say, and all will be well with you." And at that point, I knew the Lord was telling me, listen and obey. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. Obey and listen. And I felt like God was telling me just to do that along my path. Just listen and take the next step. and that he would reveal what the next chapter for me was, which is the next chapter for us.
Yeah, the two little words that Todd just said, listen and obey, they're pretty small and they're very relatively simple words, but sometimes that's kind of hard to flesh out in our lives, is to listen to God and to obey him. And in April, we were at district council, and we were just kind of trying to listen to God and kind of hear what he was having to say to us at that time. And just so happens that one of the church planters in our district was talking, and Todd and I had felt this stirring to Lander. We had felt this thought of Lander, and in his talking, in his random, just the way he is, he said, we got to plant more churches in this district. We got to get out there. We got to do this thing. Like, we need a church in Lander. And I was like, how did he know? And it just, you know, it just started pressing on our hearts that maybe this wasn't just bad pizza. Maybe this was really the Lord kind of leading and guiding. Maybe this really was a God thing that he could do. And that tug and that calling and that part of our hearts that said, listen to what I am saying, started really coming to life. And we just decided, all right, let's just pray. Let's just seek the Lord. Let's just really try to hear what he's telling us. And our first element that we wanted to talk about today is listen, because listening in general, just to anybody, requires focus, it requires calm, it requires a little bit of quiet, it requires you to stop what you're doing, stop the crazy of your life, and just kind of focus in on what the other person is saying. And to listen to God, it requires knowing his voice, spending time with him, and recognizing when he is pushing you, recognizing that it isn't bad pizza, recognizing that it isn't just another thing that you thought of in your head, but that it's actually God. In John 10:27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And God is really willing and able to reveal the story that he wrote down for you. He wants to. He longs to do that for you. He's not dangling something over your head and saying, boy, they're dumb. They didn't do that right. No, that's not the God that we serve. He's a good father that cares about you and wants good things for you. One of the definitions of listening, if you would go into your dictionary or look it up on thesaurus.com, is waiting attentively for a sound. How often do we do that? How often do we just sit and say, God, speak, I'm listening? I would venture to guess that in our crazy day, there's not a whole lot of stopping and listening. Can I tell you, with two toddlers in my house, I'm lucky to make it to the end of the day. I just hang on. That's all I do. I just pray and survive. But in those times when we choose to listen, in those times when we have a minute to stop, he speaks so clear. He wants to speak clearly to you. Pastor's been going through the whole ghost series, telling us about the times in our life that God will supernaturally speak into us. And Brett's going to come, and there's been several times during this process when God has spoken to me so clear, God's spoken to Todd so clear. But the one thing that we wanted to share with you, and most of you have heard this story, but we wanted to just share with you a little bit of how God spoke to Brett about this. As parents, we were a touch nervous about telling our going into middle school kid that we were moving, that we would be going to a new town, we would have to be going into a new school, and that everything was going to be changing. Plus, you're getting a new brother and sister. Okay, good luck. We were nervous about this transition for him. How many of you parents know? It makes you crazy. You don't want to mess up your kids. You don't want them on a counselor's couch going, oh, it was my mother. You know. So you want to make sure that what is happening to you translates somehow to them. So tell us what happened. Can you stand up with me? Okay, good.
So that means we didn't tell Brett about the move.
We weren't going to tell him until we had a lot of firm dates. We wanted to know what was going on before we shared with him. So at kids camp, he didn't know. And what happened at kids camp? Can you tell us about Wednesday?
On Wednesday, I was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right, and that was amazing because I had felt the Lord say, Brett's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit at camp, and it's going to be really important for him. And in my mind, I was thinking, it's going to be important because when he goes into middle school, he's got to be tough, and I need the Holy Spirit in him, you know, da-da-da-da. And so I didn't know the next part of it, but then a couple of weeks later, you went to youth camp, and it was Monday night, right? And you were praying, and what did you see?
I was praying at the end of the service, and I thought in a blurry vision of my mind, I felt God saying, new home.
New home. And we had not told him up until this point about anything. And so when he saw that, what did you ask Dad?
I said, Dad, does new home mean anything to you?
And what did Dad say?
He said, yes.
And then what did you ask?
And then I said, Dad, are we moving? He said, yes. And I said, where? And he said, Lander.
Yeah, so it was exciting for us that unbeknownst to us, we introduced him to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit ratted us out. And he texted me that night, and he said, Mom, I know we're moving to Lander. And I text Todd, and I said, how did this happen? And Todd goes, it wasn't my fault, it was Jesus. You know, so.
But we actually said, why did we introduce him to the Holy Spirit?
It was our bad. But through this whole thing, he's been able to just digest it a little bit more, knowing that it's not just his crazy parents that are taking him across the state, that it actually is Jesus that's working in our lives. And for us, too, having God speak to our 11-year-old has been really, really good. Because in the midst of a move like this, there's a lot of scary unknowns. But this is God. And so if he can tell my 11-year-old that we're getting a new home, then I can have faith that we're going to get a new home, even though I don't know how it's going to happen. I can have faith that it's going to happen. And it's been an encouragement to Todd and I, as well as an encouragement to Brett. So we just want to thank God. Thank you for coming up. Yeah.
Okay, so the second essential element for all of us, and this is not just for Todd, Angela, Brett, Molly, Davis, this is for all of us, and that's to obey. For every one of us, our story is like when I was a kid, we would travel to Florida, and my parents would say, here's a Mad Lib. You know what those are? You remember Mad Libs? And oftentimes, like with the Mad Lib, it was hilarious. We'd have a funny story at the end, but it didn't have any purpose. And that's like us sometimes. We can fill in our own lines, and we can make a mess of things. And it's funny. We had a really fun time, but it has no purpose. But if we'll let Jesus come and let Jesus write our story, we'll be amazed. It'll be fun. There'll be definitely adventures. And it'll make sense, and it'll have purpose. You see, as Angela and I have been kind of praying and just seeking the Lord, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24 tells the rest of the story. But my people will not listen to me. It says, they kept doing whatever they wanted, following the stubborn desires of their evil hearts. They went backward instead of forward. And it is one thing to listen. We all know it's one thing to listen. It's another to obey. And time after time, people in Scripture had to step out in faith and obey. Like Peter when he stepped out on the water. I'm sure he was like, this is really deep. I don't know if you know anything, Jesus. But what I know is when I step out, I'm going to sink. And he steps out of the boat, and Jesus holds him. And then, like the story of Esther, she walks in to the king's palace, and she's like, God, if I go here and you're not in this, I'm done. Literally. He's going to take my life. And she steps in, walks in faith, and the Lord's right with her. And so many throughout Scripture, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, he just kept praying. The consequences were unknown, but the outcomes were amazing because God was there in the midst of their story. And so that's definitely where we are, just on the edge of the unknown, about to step out of the boat and onto the water.
Man, I'm praying there is water.
But the next step for us, we know, is a move to lander. And to get to know not only that place, but those people. And it means we have to sell our house, means we have to find jobs. We are looking, God has already given Angela a job, and I'm looking to get a job outside of our church plant because there's no money there right now. And so your help to raise support will kind of what they say is take your first year and a half to 2 years to raise support. And so the money that comes in can help you financially, but it also can be put into the church. So when you go to have your first service, that you have things like a sound system and you have things like materials to for the kids and those kind of things.
A place to meet.
Yeah, a place to meet. So in the next 4 weeks, crazy, it's been pushed forward because we didn't know. We found out about 2 weeks ago that school starts for them August 23rd. And so we wanted to get Brett into school. And so, but once we get there, we will attend the Assemblies of God Church Multiplication Network. It's kind of like a training for church planters. And our main goals there are to, once we get to Lander, to establish relationships in the town and just kind of find out what they need. What does the community need that we and that Jesus can provide for them? And I don't know if you know this, but Lander is a town of less than 8,000 people, and only about 33% of them go to church. That means LDS, that means Catholic, that means Episcopalian, like total, 33% of the people in Lander go to church. How many know they need Jesus? And they need not only Jesus, but Jesus empowered with the Holy Spirit. And so that's why God has called us there. As you can imagine, there's a bunch of cultures there. There's the farmers, there's the ranchers, there's the Native Americans, and there's like the kind of hippie, yuppie kind of people. And even as we've been talking to a pastor there from the Foursquare Church, he said they come together at his church on Sunday morning, and then they go their separate ways. And it's like four distinct separate entities go out. That's not church. That's people coming together and then leaving and going back to their home. But we believe that God wants to call us to partner with that Foursquare Church, to partner with the other churches in Lander. One of the things that Glenn, that Foursquare pastor, told us is there are two ministerial alliances in Lander. Why there are two? Because there's so much tension in terms of relationship between pastors there and churches. And he said in the 2 years that he's been there, neither one of them have asked him to be a part of the ministerial alliance. So the Holy Spirit needs to come and just unite the church, because a church divided can't stand. But when we bind together in Jesus, and we hope that he'll use us to just solidify the church. The verse that God has laid on our hearts for the church in Lander is Jeremiah, again, 17.
Really should have read Jeremiah.
Yeah. Jeremiah 17, chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. It says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Wyoming, long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. Isn't that what the church is all about? Never stop producing fruit. As we've researched the town, we've discovered that Lander is one of the only places in Wyoming that has an orchard. And we thought, man, how appropriate of Jesus to just lay that scripture on us. And as I've been researching that orchard back in the early 1900s, had 2,000 trees and produced about 60,000 pounds worth of fruit. And we're just believing for Jesus, that Jesus is going to give us the harvest in that community, in that town. And we feel like he's even said that should be the name of the church, the Orchard, or the Orchard Church, or something to that effect, where people are growing together and producing fruit. And to help us remember all that God has done, and he is continuing to do, one of the things that God told me is just to start writing your story. Start writing down all of the confirmations, all of the ideas, all of the things that he's placed on your heart. And so I've just started just writing it all out. And I could show you this, and it's just amazing what God is already doing. But it will help us in the future. Because it's not just going in faith and, oh, look at all these awesome things that God is doing. But there are going to be struggles, and there are going to be hardships. But it's going to be your prayers coupled with ours that are going to make the difference. And we just encourage you to join with us. This is not just a journey for the Pettibones. I really believe this is a journey for Casper Faith. Because we are an extension of you. And so will you go with us to Lander? Will you go with us to tell people, more people, about Jesus?
It's good to know that when we listen and when we obey, we can unlock the next chapter of our story that God has written. And even though we don't see all the fill in the blanks, even though we don't see all of the stuff that how it ends, we can know that if we listen and if we obey, like the verse in Jeremiah said, all is going to be well. It might not be perfect. It might not be the way we wanted it to be, but it will be well in Christ. And so the third essential element that we have for you today is not a new one. It's just repeat. Repeat that process. Continue to listen. Continue to obey. I can guarantee you that right now, God is not handing you a whole set of the next chapter of your life and saying, oh, well, you've listened and obeyed. Here, let me give you the rest of it. No, no, no. It's an ongoing process. It's a continual process. The things that we think are done and dusted, all of a sudden, okay, but now what? There's been things even this week that have happened, and I'm going, God, don't you think we have enough to worry about? How come we got another thing to worry about? Why is there more? But I know that if I continue to listen and obey, that God's going to reveal whatever it is, whatever the story is that he has for us, whatever that next chapter is, he's going to reveal it. And I just trust him to do that. And that's hard, isn't it? Trusting in the unknown. We were trying to think of a good way to finish today, and Todd's a worship person, so the most obvious choice was to sing. So if you could just pray with us right now, let God talk to your heart. Is he calling you to do something crazy? Because we're in that boat with you. Is he calling you to do something audacious that says only he is going to be able to take me through this next step? Can I encourage you today to listen? Listen to what he's saying. And when you hear him, when you know it's him, obey. And just see what he's going to open up for you. Let's quiet our hearts as we sing. Can you do that with us? You know these songs. You can sing with us.
You call called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
My eyes above the waves.
When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace.
For I am yours.
You are mine. Crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust.
Call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the promises you made.
You make me brave.
You make me brave. Call me out beyond the shore into the waves.
You make me brave.
You make me brave.
No fear can hinder now
the promises you made.
As your love in wave after wave crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. So go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind
still know his name.
It is well with my soul.
listen, obey, repeat. Yeah, you can be seated. Pretty simple, isn't it? And yet sometimes it's scary. But I found this in my own life. When I say no to God because I'm afraid to obey, I'm never happy.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.